Warning: The Michael Savage Show contains adult language, adult content, psychological nudity. Listener discretion is advised.
Now, America's most exciting radio talk show, The Savage Nation. Here is Michael Savage.
And what's he doing? They want to talk to this man. The video shows a middle-aged white man changing his shirt.
A person of interest, a white man said to be in his 40s.
Do you know this man? A surveillance video shows a middle-aged white man changing his shirt just about a half block from where the SUV was abandoned.
The possible suspect described as a white male appearing to be in his mid-40s.
This person of interest, they say, who's a white man in his 40s, they think, who is seen not far from the vehicle changing shirts.
The guy in the video seen here is described as a white male in his 40s. He's seen stopping to take off a sweatshirt.
The NYPD is now searching for somebody they describe to be a white male believed to be in his 40s.
Somebody
who's homegrown,
maybe a mentally deranged person or somebody with a political agenda.
Middle-aged white man.
White man said to be in his 40s.
Middle-aged white man.
Are you listening to the sounds of the reason we're about to die as a nation? The vermin in the media and the vermin in the White House, the vermin in the outhouse, the vermin in the State House, the vermin in the City House. They all yesterday said it was a white man. There was Bloomberg saying it was a deranged man with a political agenda. Not one of them would say if it was a Muslim. Not one of them would say if it was a Middle Easterner. Not one of them, if it hit them in the face, would acknowledge what's going on around them, which is why we must defend ourselves. We have a bunch of overly race-conscious government dupes running everything in this country. There were the news anchors and the reporters. You heard it with your own ears just yesterday, repeating white male, 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 white male. Because they believe in blackmail, 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 blackmail. They blackmail the entire white race into a corner. They blackmail the entire white race into a corner, and they're killing us. The Muslims are running wild in this country. The Muslims are running wild in this country, and the police are afraid of them. The police are afraid of CAIR. The police are afraid of the ACLU. The police are afraid of everybody but you. White male, white male, white male, white male, white male, white male. You haven't heard Muslim male, 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 did you? If they found out who it was, the guy gave himself up and they won't say Muslim male, Muslim male, links to Islam, Islam, Muslim, Muslim, Islam, Islam, Muslim. Why won't they say it? Because they're a bunch of morons, and that's why we're in trouble. You heard it with your own damn ears. What more do I have to say to you? Now, the key points in this case of the Times Square bomber are very obvious to me. I watched the entire news conference today as it unfolded. And let me say this before I get into it. It's very easy to stand here on the outside and criticize government officials, which I do for a living. I recognize that. Very easy to stand there and stick fingers in the dike and say they should have done this, they should have done that. And I understand that. So I have to ask myself, if I worked for the U.S. government in one of the intelligence agencies, particularly if I were a higher up in Department of Homeland Security, a useless, bloated agency that spies on U.S. citizens and lets terrorists like this slip through the cracks because they're afraid of the ACLU and CAIR, they could have arrested this guy. He was screened when he came back from Pakistan the last time. But she didn't touch him, Janet Napolitano. In fact, if you listened to the news conference, it was revealed that this bastard, when he returned from Pakistan the last time, this bastard underwent some kind of secondary screening after he returned to the U.S. And that now somehow led to his arrest. So you have to ask yourself, why was he screened when he came back the last time? And what was learned? And why did Napolitano not arrest him? This is the fourth time she has failed us. This is the fourth time she has shown her incompetence. This is the fourth time we've seen that it's an ordinary citizen who protected us, not these overpaid oafs in the government. So again, I have to ask you, do you feel that the government acted responsibly in stopping this attack? You know that they had nothing to do with it. The only reason the bomb didn't go off is because this bastard didn't know how to make a bomb properly. Do you feel that a reasonably competent director of Homeland Security would have stopped the bomber before he even drove his vehicle to Times Square since he was on a watch list? And why do you think Napolitano was again unsuccessful in stopping the bomber earlier? Next, we have to ask ourselves, should we let more Muslim immigrants into the country? Oh, yes, I'll ask the question until they put me out of business. I'll ask it until you hear it, you schmucks, you. Should we let more Muslim immigrants into the country? Next, we'll ask this. Who in the media seemed most disappointed today that the bomber turned out not to be a white man after he was identified as a Muslim from Pakistan? Who in the media seemed most boo-hoo-ish today that the bomber wasn't another Timothy McVeigh, or he didn't match the protocols of the militia up in Michigan? The FBI revealed today that the bomber was questioned, and then he was read his rights, or Mirandized. I ask you, should he have been Mirandized at all before he was rubber hosed for information? Now, you understand why we're in trouble in America, don't you? Because we no longer have police that are able to do their work. Now, that's not saying there aren't police who couldn't do their work. There are. There are very good police out there with the guts to do the job that we can't do. They're our watchdogs, but over them are the cowards. Above them are the politicians. Above the politicians are the outright traitors. And above the traitors are the foreign sources that control this country. So again, I say to you, let's go back together. Let's listen to the sound together. White male, 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 white male. Bloomberg, the moron mayor of New York, distinctly proved that not only that a billionaire can not only be a criminal like Madoff, but a billionaire can also be a moron like Bloomberg. It just shows you don't have to be smart or intelligent to be a billionaire. Yesterday he was saying it was a homegrown terrorist who was disgruntled. Now it gets worse. Wait, it gets worse. CNN, the seditious news agency, actually put out a piece where they felt bad for the bomber because his house had been foreclosed. Listen to clip 15.
Confirm that his house was foreclosed on in recent years. I mean, one would have to imagine that that brought a lot of pressure and a lot of heartache on that family.
Yeah, she said July of 2009 they left, and then shortly after that she says they changed the locks on the home.
Did they say that they gave him locks? Did they give him bagels at all? Or what did she say? They changed his locks or they gave him locks? Or someone denied him locks and bagels. Is that why he did it? All right, so we're looking at this, and we know a few things. We know that Janet Napolitano is the most incompetent Homeland Security Secretary. Possibly it's impossible to find anybody more incompetent than her. Impossible. She failed with the Christmas bomber. One after the other, her agency has failed us. He was under surveillance. They didn't take him in. Why? They're afraid of the ACLU and CAIR, in my opinion, I'm guessing. But wait, there's more. There's a show on Fox News that is run by a man who has been faking it for many years. He started as a fill-in for Rush Limbaugh, got lucky. I don't hold it against him that he only went to high school. That means nothing. I know many people who went to high school did very well. But this one wraps himself in the flag. I call him Wallbanger affectionately for a couple of reasons. And he continuously has Democrats on who he kisses the ring. He has a schmuck on named Bob Beckel, who yesterday said this on Wallbanger's show on Fox. Listen to 16.
That they have a person of interest as a naturalized American citizen returned to the country after spending several months in Pakistan. Is it too early to read into that?
No, I still think the jury is out on this. I think it could be a right-wing militiaman involved in this. I mean, you never know.
Now, why would Hannity permit this man to ever come back on his show again? The answer is because they're both clowns. But they're not the problem. They're part of the government media problem that we all have. When you've got an agency like Fox, which is so important to us, that has now become the CNN of 5 years ago, and we no longer have a truly conservative media outlet, except for a few people left in talk radio, tell me where we're going to be tomorrow if this goes on. We know that we have an outright, suspicious individual in the White House. We don't know which team he's playing for. Half the time, no matter which way it comes down, we don't know which side Obama's really on. We never can really tell. Today, Eric Holder got up there and almost looked like an American attorney general. I was actually shocked by Eric Holder. It seems like whoever wrote his script really got their act together today. I have to take my hat off to whoever wrote Holder's script. He seemed like he actually was an attorney general who was talking to himself. That was the funny part. He was saying, we learned this, we learned that. He was saying he learned. I think Eric Holder has awakened finally to come to understand that the Muslims in this country are not all here because they love us. That there's a high percentage of them who don't love us, and they're coming from the Muslim community. How many different ways do I have to say the same God darn thing? How many different times do I have to say it? That they're shaking down children with braces on their legs who are crippled and making them go through screening three times. But if a Muslim comes, they get on their knees and say, Allah be praised, and they let them walk through screening. How many times do we have to put up with this garbage because of this cowardly government? How many times do we have to be intimidated by CAIR and ACLU? Both groups, as far as I'm concerned, are seditious. I'll be right back. Savage.
Who is that guy? And what's he doing? They want to talk to this man. The video shows a middle-aged white man changing his shirt.
A person of interest, a white man said to be in his 40s.
Do you know this man? A surveillance video shows a middle-aged white man changing his shirt just about a half block from where the SUV was abandoned.
The possible suspect described as a white male appearing to be in his...
All right, let me explain something to you. The vermin in the media are so racist that the white male today has become the equivalent of the black male in the antebellum period of the South after the Civil War. Or a black was suspected of every crime under the sun. A black was suspected of every rape. A black was suspected of every murder. Right now, the vermin in the media, most of whom are white, by the way, suspect white males who are, let's say, macho enough to actually still be called a male, of every possible crime in the country. That shows you the state we are in. And I am so sick and tired of listening to these people. I don't know how to say it to you other than the way I've been saying it to you. But don't worry. The police who are so intimidated by this issue of Islam and Muslims, it hits us in the face virtually every few months. One terrorist attempt after another, but we're afraid to say it. At least you're afraid to say it. I'm not. I'm banned from England. You know what? It's almost a mark of pride for me. England can go to hell as far as I'm concerned, what it's become. It's no longer the land of the Magna Carta. It's the land of the servile flatterer. That's what it's become under that those doofuses who run it. So you have a country today that is so beaten up that one attempt after another of a terrorist act by a Muslim, and they won't, oh, no, it's not related to Islam, it's not related to Muslim, oh, no, all religions, blah, 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 blah. But don't worry, the very same police departments that are afraid, not afraid, let's say, of you, you see them pull over a white woman in the suburbs making them cry over a traffic violation. With backup, they call for backup. I see that all the time. And here in Oakland, California, the brave Oakland police chased down last night and gunned down a baby deer because it went into a neighbor's backyard. On Saturday morning, rather, an officer spotted a Bambi-like deer, a baby, that had wandered into the area and chased it in his patrol car. The deer jumped over a fence and into someone's backyard. Police evacuated the area, and the brave police, under orders to dispatch the deer, shot the baby deer 7 times before it died. Officials, if you can call anyone in Oakland an official, said the deer was gunned down because it was acting disoriented in an urban environment. Acting disoriented in an urban environment. That's interesting. It sounds like most of our politicians, by the way. A moron from the Oakland Police Department said there were many children and area residents, and the officers, did make a decision that the deer was a public safety issue. Kids were thrilled by their little deer that visited them, and they were confused by the shooting, said someone who caught it on a video. The children don't know what to think. All they saw was a baby deer. And the children were crying, say, why did the police kill the deer? Many people are shocked by this. Certainly they could have tranquilized or netted the deer and set it free. But you see, officers are not trained to use tranquilizers on animals. And so they killed the baby deer. The very same officers who are intimidated by people of a certain persuasion, intimidated by people of a certain religion, intimidated by people of certain this and certain that sensitivities, are certainly brave enough to get out their guns and shoot a baby deer 7 times here in the San Francisco area. But let's go back to the overly race-conscious Obama government and ask us why this government failed to stop Faisal Shahzad, who recently became a U.S. citizen. Now, let's look at when he became a U.S. citizen and how did he become a U.S. citizen. And Why did this vermin become a U.S. citizen? How did this Pakistani piece of garbage who wanted to kill thousands, and by the way, make no mistake about it, if this piece of human trash had had access to a dirty bomb, he would have set it off in Times Square. You would have been dead. All you liberals marching around in New York right now listening to me who think I'm the bad guy, all I can say to you is that liberalism is a mental disorder, and there's no better example of it than you. You people are sick in the head. You cover for the very people who would kill you. Most of you give money to the seditious ACLU. Most of you hate the right wing, who are the only people in this country willing to stand up and say what's what in this country. Most of you are mentally deranged, which is why you've lost your families, why you're on Prozac-related compounds, and why your children have become sexual deviants and don't talk to you anymore. You know in your own life you're mentally deranged, which is why you cling to your liberalism, because you want to blame everybody for your own illness. But let me tell you something. A dirty bomb does not discriminate. A dirty bomb doesn't say you're a nice guy who gave to the ACLU and it's not going to affect you. I got to tell you something. You people are sick. You're like lemmings. And I particularly blame the big city New York liberals. The big city New York liberals are the reason we have become caponized in this country. The reason we have become caponized and gelded is because of the big city New York liberals. They don't even know what's going on around them. They refuse to see with their own eyes what their verminous media is doing to this country and to the intelligence agencies. White male, white male, white male, white male, white male. No. Muslim male. How many times have you heard the word Muslim today? Zero. How come they didn't say a Muslim male was captured today? Muslim male captured today. Muslim male captured today. Today a Muslim male was captured as he tried to escape the country on, by the way, what airline? Emirates Airline. Emirates Airline. He was trying to flee to his friends in Dubai. Now, I want to ask you, who stopped the Dubai port steal? Michael Savage. Michael Savage warned you that the people in Dubai were not your friends, and I was punished for it. I have discovered that that's one of the reasons I was banned in Britain, because there's big money at stake, my friends. Dubai port steal, remember it?
Savage.
I could guess 25 cents. This would be exactly that. Somebody
a
who's
homegrown,
maybe a mentally deranged person or somebody with a political agenda that doesn't like the health care bill or something. It could be anything.
I'd like to thank the dedicated men and women of the Department of Homeland Security.
We really did a great job.
Whose work on the case was instrumental in apprehending this suspect.
We got a big
Customs
lot of keys on our butt.
Customs and Border Protection successfully apprehended the suspect after its agents and analysts had been tracking
outbound
flights for a potential suspect for the past 3 days.
We did a hell of a job, all of us. We're going to go out for donuts with the guys later.
Served an important role in the joint terrorism.
We all did a great job.
As the lead.
We heard it. Yeah, I did a great job. Was the hot dog guy who did the job. A guy selling hot dogs in the street, a Vietnam veteran. He's the one who did it. They did nothing. They did nothing. They dropped the ball again. $1 trillion a year wouldn't matter. They don't know what they're doing. We're sitting here like a bunch of morons waiting to be hit the next time. And Bloomberg already is blaming it on health care. I don't know if anyone changed his locks from Nova Scotia to Pacific Coast, but somebody ought to change his locks back so the guy knows what he's talking about. It shows that you could be a billionaire and be a moron. It just proves it again. You could be a billionaire and be a crook. You could be a billionaire and be a moron. And Bloomberg is an example of the latter, not the former. Now let's look at the issue of how this wonderful Pakistani became a U.S. citizen. We hear he's a naturalized U.S. citizen. Oh, hey. Naturalized. So he got a green card. Now he's implicated in a terror plot inside the United States. So let's look at the naturalization process that turns foreigners into Americans. We all know that immigration is a very big issue in America. We know that we're all racists for even asking the question as to why must we have more illegal aliens in America, most of whom do not wave the American flag, but they wave the Mexican flag. Most of whom do not speak English, but they speak Spanish. And, of course, amongst them are many from the Middle East who not only do not speak English, but they would like to kill you. Now, you have to ask yourself, how did they become citizens? How did the guy get a green card? Well, I went and got for you the naturalization paper, the papers. They ask you some very important questions for the year 2010. A bunch of questions they ask you includes these.
between March 23rd, 1933 and May 8th, 1945, did you work for or associate directly or indirectly with A, the Nazi government of Germany, any German Nazi or SS military unit, etc.? This is in the naturalization papers. They're asking what the individual did between 1933 and 1945. There's no question about whether or not you've traveled to Pakistan in the most recent years or your brother-in-law works for Al-Qaeda. Then they ask other very important questions that are really a very good moral character. This is also what our friend from Pakistan had to check yes or no on. And I'm no doubt he had a gentleman from NYU, a lawyer, some very smart immigration lawyer, a very smart immigration lawyer who loves them. A smart immigration lawyer sat with him and said, check, yes, 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 no, no, no. We'll get you in. Don't worry. Don't worry. Ding, ding. D, good moral character. For the purposes of this application, you must answer yes to the following questions. If applicable, even if your records were sealed or otherwise cleared, or if anyone, including a judge, learned that you no longer have a record. 15, have you ever committed a crime or offense for which you were not arrested? Yes or no? So the lawyer from NYU, no doubt someone that the gentleman from Pakistan would like to wring his neck and cut his head off, tells him what to check, yes or no. Have you ever been charged with committing any crime or offense? Have you ever been convicted of a crime or offense? Have you ever been placed in alternative sentence? Have you received a suspended sentence? Have you ever been in jail or prison? If you've answered yes to any of the questions, 15 through 21, so any moron with a 40 IQ knows when you see you go that one, make sure you say no everywhere, because then you got to complete the following table. This is like an IQ test for someone who has an 80 IQ on a good day with fish oils. Now you go into questions 22 to 33 for the Muslims from Pakistan. They ask, have you ever been a habitual drunkard? Yes or no. Have you ever been a prostitute or procured anyone for prostitution? You mean we don't accept pimps in America? You must be kidding me. How in the heck are we going to have a bench for the political class if we weed out all of the pimps from around the world? I mean, I don't understand this. They're weeding out pimps from around the world? How in the heck are we going to have a minor league for the political structure? Have you ever been married to more than one person at the same time? Now, that's a joke unto itself. I have to digress for a moment. You realize that France banned the burqa. See, they're so, even liberal socialist France is stages ahead of us with regard to the threat from Muslims. And so they banned the burqa. As you know, the burqa is not required by the Quran. It's used as a tool of a political tool. And it's also used as a tool to get welfare. What they found was many Muslim women were coming into welfare offices, covering their entire bodies and faces with the burqa and using separate identities. In other words, they were this one, this way, that way, 18 different women under one drawer. Scam, don't you understand? And if anyone said anything, they scream, religious this, religious that. We'll go to the Human Rights Commission. How dare you uncover my veil? Who are you asking me anything? It's your country. It's my country. I came here. I own it. You can go to hell, Frenchman. I want that welfare check. So the Muslims in France, we learn, had polygamy is quite common. Now, in America, as you know, Mormons are under the government's eye. The FNLC is constantly being looked at by Department of Homeland Security and the FBI for polygamy, as you well know, because they're a real threat. I mean, I don't know the last time a Mormon set off a bomb, but nevertheless, they're given a life sentence if they conduct polygamy, any kind of polygamy here in America. But apparently, if you're from Pakistan and you have 16 wives and 53 children on welfare, that's acceptable to the United States government under Barack Hussein Obama. So have you ever been a habitual drunkard, a prostitute, smuggled drugs, been married to more than one person? And E, have you helped anyone enter or try to enter the United States illegally? Now, who would answer yes if they did it? Have you gambled illegally or received income from illegal gambling? No, going to say yes. Have you failed to support your dependents to pay alimony? Yeah, you're going to put yes. Have you ever given false and illegal information? So you get the picture. In other words, they get a smart lawyer from NYU whose throat they like to cut on a videotape, cut his head off while chanting, and he tells them what to check, the ACLU lawyer. Military service. Have you ever served in the U.S. Armed Forces? Blah, 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 blah. Selective service. Registration. Now, oath requirements. This is what the gentleman from Pakistan had to check yes or no to. Do you support the Constitution and form of government of the United States? Well, you know, the interesting thing here is I'm going to read these to you and ask you. I don't know if you gave these questions to Congress today, how many of them would answer yes?
Do you support the Constitution and form of government of the United States? I would say it's 50-50. The Congress would check yes. Do you understand the full oath of allegiance to the United States? I'd say 90% of them would say no. Are you willing to take the full oath of allegiance to the United States? Every Democrat would say no. If the law requires it, are you willing to bear arms on behalf of the United States? All liberals would say no. If the law requires it, are you willing to perform non-combatant services in the U.S. Armed Forces? The liberals would say no. If the law requires it, are you willing to perform work of national importance under the civilian direction? They would say no because they don't work. Congress doesn't work, as you well know. They just pass laws and tax you. They don't have to perform any work except collect a graft and thing. So here we are, and now we have this, the callers and the state applicant. White male, white male, white male, white male, white male. The citizenship process includes not just background checks, but a citizenship test, which I just read for you, and final interview. Could you imagine the moron who does the interview? Can you imagine the genius, the interview officer working for Obama, who has the authority to reject the applicant at the end of the process? Can you imagine who they have doing these interviews? Could you just imagine the intelligence level of somebody in that job and what position they may take with regard to an Irish nun or somebody from Ireland or Poland as opposed to somebody from Pakistan? The Pakistani is waved right in. That's all. And they fill out the form for him. The Irish war hero is probably told to go to the back of the line because there are too many whites in America already, because most whites are responsible for most of the a crime in the United States of America. So my main point is that, A, we have no one in the government protecting us except the soldiers overseas who are arrested and given court-martials if they actually do their job a little too well. And, B, over here we are overrun with such a state of affairs that the white male today in the United States of America, as a result of the government media complex, the white male today is the equivalent of the black male in antebellum Georgia. That's what's going on today. In other words, the white male is immediately suspect of any terrorist act or any terrorist crime. That's the government under Obama. If you remember, it was Janet Napolitano who took the screed written by the Southern Poverty Law Center, and I was the first to, remember, I was the first to tell you who probably wrote it for her when she was roundly criticized for saying we're watching for homegrown terrorists, we're watching for white males, we're watching returning war veterans, anti-abortion protesters, and Tea Partiers. I said this had to be written by the Southern Poverty Law Center, and I even named the guy. And yet it turned out to be him, and he boasted about that he wrote it. And now the government's following this extremist marginal group's ideas of who the terrorists are. They've yet to apologize. They've yet to be thrown out of the White House. We've yet to heard one apology from any vermin in the media who said white male 30 times yesterday, except here I am on the air telling you like it is, right on the level here. You know you're getting it from me the way it is. You know I'm speaking for you. You know I'm one of the only people in America who's laying it on the line. And I got to tell you something else. And I will tell you something else. I was shocked to find out that the con man, Glenn Beck, Glenn Schmeck, I like to call him, Glenn Schmeck, the luckiest man in the world. He's luckier than Lou Gehrig before he got the Lou Gehrig's disease. Glenn Beck actually went on the air and said that the would-be bomber should have his Miranda rights read to him because he learned very well. He taught the dunce what to say. The dunce said, "We don't tear up the Constitution just because it's convenient." And so one of the other people on the Fox and Friends said, "But wait a minute, what if he had set off the bomb and killed your family or friends?" And again, the dunce, who got very lucky, says, "Well, we don't tear up the Constitution just because we want to." So already he's become gelded because he saw what happened when he stepped over the line and he took on the very important CAIR and ACLU. They taught him that he must start to sound more like CNN in order to survive on FOX. I'll be right back.
Savage.
When he returned from Pakistan, he underwent some kind of secondary screening after his last trip, and that contributed in some way to his arrest. Why was he screened when he came back, and what was learned?
Without getting into a lot of detail, he was screened when he came back because some of the targeting rules applied. He was subjected to secondary screening. He is a naturalized U.S. citizen. I'm just going to leave it at that.
So, in other words, the reporter nailed her to a cross. The reporter found out that this bum, the would-be Times Square bomber, was on a watch list. He had been screened on the last trip back from Pakistan, but because of the rules against stopping Muslims in particular and only looking for dangerous white males, he was allowed to roam freely in the United States of America by Big Sis, who's looking for anti-abortionist Tea Party members, and of course, anyone who's white who served in Iraq or Afghanistan, because that's what she's been told to do by her friends at the Southern Poverty Law Center. That's exactly what's going on here. That's I'm cutting through the fog of confusion that is being disseminated by the Obama administration about their failure once again to stop another would-be bomber, stopped instead by A, his own incompetence, and B, a street vendor. So there it is. I mean, what more can I say about the whole picture? You got the whole picture. We're sitting here naked. If this guy had had a dirty bomb, it would have gone off of Manhattan. Who knows that he isn't a, what do you call it, a tester, a test where they send in whatever you call it, a trial run to see how far he could get away with. I mean, he got away with it. The guy got away with it. Now they see already. What I love this morning is before the news conference, they ask some Homeland Security guy for New York State, no less. Another guy couldn't get a job except for New York State. And they asked him, how did they actually catch him since the VIN number was taken off the dare? He told them exactly how they traced him back, point by point, so that they can translate it into Arabic or to Farsi, whatever they're reading over there in Krapistan. And they'll know next time not to do it. They'll know next time to take the VIN number off the dashboard and under the car, and also to make sure they don't use a cell phone because it's being looked at by a military plane flying overhead, which apparently caught him as he got in the plane. As he was racing from his house to the airport, he actually used a cell phone to call in for his ticket, and a high-flying U.S. Military surveillance picked up his cell phone and heard and listened in. So in other words, the next time you call home for flowers, they're listening in and reporting it to the Southern Poverty Law Center to make sure that you didn't order the Red Terrorist flower display because it's liable to. You know what I'm saying? So in other words, everything you're doing is being listened to by the geniuses in government. And if you're a white male, you have to be especially careful you don't say anything that's loaded, even if you're innocent, because I can guarantee the black helicopters will be in your backyard along with Bambi's would-be killers. On the other hand, if you're a green card holder from, let's say, somewhere in Krapistan, don't worry about it. You could even bring in a ticking neutron bomb, and I can guarantee you they'll wave you right across the JFK terminal. In fact, they'll probably give you an honorary visit to the Lincoln Memorial. All right, I've said all I want to say. There's nothing more I can say. I've said everything that needs to be said. What is left to be said? Nothing. Now let's talk about the oil cleanup. Not? No, you don't want to talk about Obama's Katrina. You don't want to talk about the fact that, again, the government has failed us. I want to ask you something, you schmuck liberals. If it was a Republican in the White House and the oil was moving and moving and moving and moving and moving and moving, and the Republican president was giving jokes, bad jokes about using predator drones against against singers, at the White House so-called correspondence dinner, and otherwise not giving a damn about what's going on in the Gulf. Tell me what you'd be saying today. What do I have to tell you? What do I have to tell you? It's the sad state of affairs that we're living in a country. I don't know whose country it is. I know it's not mine. I know that I am not living in the America I grew up in, that I used to wake up in the morning and feel like the luckiest person on earth. My parents told me how the world was around me and how everybody wanted to come here. I used to wake up in the morning and feel lucky just to be an American when I knew how bad it was everywhere else on earth. And then I wake up one day and I start to feel, wait a minute, how did this country become almost like a third world nation? How did patriots in this country become suspect? How did deviants and other such individuals suddenly become revered? How is it that every movie that is made is not about a hero, but about a degenerate criminal? How is it possible that there are so many sick people in so many positions of power? How is it that every crime that is committed, the suspect is immediately a white male? How far have we fallen so fast in the United States of America? I ask myself every morning as I awaken and every night as I go to sleep. That's the truth. That's one man's opinion. If you don't agree with me, you know what? It's too damn bad. I'm an Aries, and I'll tell you the way I see it. If it matches, fine. If it's a blood donation that matches, take it as a transfusion. If it's a blood donation that causes toxicity, then go listen to some schmuck show on NPR where you get your daily dose of seditiousness and cowardice. Because I am sick and tired of mincing words. Yes, that's right. I have minced words on this show about what must be done and who must be stopped and who must be put in power for us to survive. I'm sick of it. Unless every one of us speaks out everywhere in this country, I can guarantee you It's only a matter of time until they get a nuclear bomb into this country. I can guarantee you that they're going to set one off in this country because of the lackluster intelligence community that exists under Obama. Where was the CIA? Where was the FBI? Where was Homeland Security? Nowhere to be found. It was all the result of a vigilant Vietnam veteran who saw the car. And by the way, the only reason it didn't go off like a Timothy McVeigh is because it was botched. It was not because someone put the fire out. It was a botched construction job. That's all. So now you have to ask yourself, was it botched on purpose? You want to go to the next step? Could his controllers in Pakistan be that dumb to have not told him how to set off the fertilizer bomb? I'm not so sure that they actually wanted it to go off. It's possible they just wanted to send a little message to the powers that be that whenever and wherever they want, they can set off a bomb in New York City and no one could stop them because the government is totally useless. That's my opinion. It's one man's opinion. Now, if I was so off the map with my statement or I was completely alone in this, I wouldn't be on the radio. I can guarantee you that 30 to 50 million people are asking the same question. How in the world can the Department of Homeland Security get up there and congratulate themselves today for having failed us once again? How does Napolitano get away with this over and over and over again? I don't feel safe with her in power. I will only feel safe when we have a returning combat veteran, preferably somebody who lost a limb in Iraq or Afghanistan. Why doesn't the government put their money where their mouth is since they care so much about the most vulnerable in our society and take somebody who gave a leg or an arm for this country and put them in charge of Homeland Security and send Janet Napolitano out with a pair of rubber gloves to clean up rubber ducks down in the Gulf of Mexico?
Savage.
Warning, The Michael Savage Show contains adult language, adult content, psychological nudity. Listener discretion is advised.
And now, America's most exciting radio talk show, The Savage Nation. Here is Michael Savage.
To guess 25 cents, this would be exactly that. Somebody
who's homegrown,
maybe a mentally deranged person or somebody with a political agenda that doesn't like the health care bill or something. It could be anything.
Who is that guy and what's he doing? They want to talk to this man. The video shows a middle-aged white man changing his shirt.
A person of interest, a white man said to be in his 40s.
Do you know this man? A surveillance video shows a middle-aged white man changing his shirt just about a half block from where the SUV was abandoned.
The possible suspect described as a white male appearing to be in his mid-40s.
This person of interest, they say, who's a white man in his 40s, they think, who is seen not far from the vehicle changing shirts.
The guy in the video seen here is described as a white male in his 40s. He's seen stopping to take off a sweatshirt.
So we have racial profiling by the vermin in the media. Every suspect of every terrorist event until they're actually caught and even after they're caught is, of course, a returning war veteran, a white male in particular, member, and who has a cross on his chest. And they haven't apologized yet, nor have they said Muslim male, Muslim male, Muslim male, Muslim male, admitted it. Admitting it today was Muslim male, Muslim male, Muslim male, Muslim male connected to the teachings of Islam, Islam, Muslim male, Muslim male. Oh, no, it's another lone wolf, another deranged lone wolf. Nothing to do with Islam, nothing to do with Muslims. Oh, no, it's just another individual not connected to anything. We don't want to get involved in any racial profiling. Look what happened with Arizona. As you well know, we know that most of the people trying to sneak into America are Irish nuns. They're white in race, and they're women wearing black cloaks. And they're Catholic nuns. That's the majority of people sneaking across the border from Mexico are not Mexicans. The majority of them are white nuns. So you don't want to racially profile. That would be just absurd. and it's not the America I grew up in, of course. Now, here's a story out of Los Angeles that shows you what racial profiling could do for you. Headline, fast food cook arrested in attempted sex assaults, kidnappings of five petite teens. A 23-year-old fast food cook has been arrested in connection with at least five attempts to sexually assault and kidnap five teens in the West San Fernando Valley, police announced. Police arrested Jose Perez of Lake Balboa in a traffic stop in Northridge after a man heard his 18-year-old niece scream and saw an attacker trying to force her into the back of his white SUV. The woman was able to escape, and her uncle took down the license plate number before the attacker drove away. He gave it to officers, and they pulled Perez over minutes later. Now, you could say that there was racial profile. No doubt, the description was not only of the SUV, but that he was of Hispanic origin. And so, therefore, if it was a good, smart lawyer from Dolt Law School, immediately they could show that the police were racists for looking for a Hispanic male who tried to accost the 18-year-old girl and allegedly four others that he tried to grab from the gates of her house and this and pulled down the street and whatever. So you got to understand how dangerous racial profiling is, except when it applies to white males, because there are no ramifications in a country that is now so distorted and so upside down that every crime, especially crimes of violence against the state, are assumed to have been committed by a white male. Which leads us now to the question of the day, the pregnant question of the day. Should Janet Napolitano be forced to step down? The answer is she won't be forced to step down, so why ask the question? But I'll take the callers anyway on any topic you are. How do you feel today knowing that your government is so competent? How do you feel today knowing that Mayor Bloomberg thought it was somebody who was upset with health care? How do you feel today knowing that Eric Holder will not say what the obvious is? How do you feel today knowing that Homeland Security had this man on a watch list and had not arrested him? How do you feel today knowing that Janet Napolitano admitted at the press conference today that not only was he on a watch list, but they had secondarily screened this bum on his last trip back from the terrorist training camps in Pakistan, but she wouldn't arrest him because he wasn't a white male? How do you feel about that today? Anne in New York, you're the first up on the Savage Nation from WOR. Go ahead, please.
Yes. Hi, Mike. I have to tell you that I feel extremely worried today. I live within 20 minutes of New York City. I've got several close family members that work in New York. And to be honest with you, I'm afraid for their safety.
How do you feel about Mayor Bloomberg, the biggest example of why a person with $1 billion can be a moron, saying yesterday there was someone, a disgruntled, insane person who was mad about health care?
I really think this is crazy. This has gone too far. I think everybody's forgotten what happened on September 11th. I think the Obama administration doesn't like New Yorkers, doesn't like New York City. They're looking to try a major terrorist here. They still haven't made a decision on the trial.
Yeah, Holder said today it's still on the table. It didn't matter to him, even though there was another attempted attack that almost succeeded. He still might hold it in downtown Manhattan. After all, he doesn't want to put common sense ahead of his ideology, does he? Thanks, Nicole. Hawaii, Steve, welcome to the Savage Nation. I haven't heard from Hawaii in a long time. Hey, Steve, aloha.
Aloha, Dr. Savage. Thank you for having me. Listen, bear with me for a minute. I just got to tell you a little story here. I was a captain in the Marine Corps during Vietnam. My job was access to nuclear warheads on a naval weapons station. When I resigned my commission, I had to swear an oath of secrecy, not to divulge any information that I was privy to domestic or foreign. But yet mm-hmm. the ex-president's wife can stand up in front of the world and tell the entire world how many nuclear warheads.
How did she get away with, how could one individual do that? How did Hillary Clinton get away with that yesterday? She divulged state secrets, saying it's part of Obama's transparency. Where is Congress, Steve? What happened to a system of checks and balances, Steve?
And what happened to the Homeland Security and the FBI in New York City when an ex-Marine Vietnam vet is the only person diligent enough to spot a terrorist attempting to blow up Times Square where my daughter could have been sitting in a cafe having a cup of coffee?
Well, I'll tell you where they are. No doubt the FBI and Homeland Security will grill that hot dog vendor and ask him if he was involved in the plot because he was the one who stopped it. There's no question that a government as intelligent as this under Obama would probably question the hot dog vendor and see if he's part of the conspiracy.
You're right. I can see it coming. Absolutely.
Oh, yeah. I'm sure they're grilling him to ask him how, while he was grilling a hot dog, did he come to understand that the car was sputtering away over there? What made him do that? Why was he so vigilant? Why did he do that? I mean, he's probably the biggest suspect right now.
And once again, thank you, bimbo Hillary Clinton, for letting the terrorist technicians know how many nuclear warheads they
need. Yeah, isn't that wonderful? I don't know. Look, Steve, I asked the same question last night. You're right. Steve, is this the country that you fought for?
They match our number, and they exceed our number. They become a nuclear, better than us, have better nuclear warheads. They're armed better than we are. They become a nuclear power. What are we becoming?
Well, but the thing is, Hillary Clinton could now sell, let's say, 1,000 of them on the open market to balance the budget in order to pay for health care.
She could
take 1,000 of the best of the nuclear weapons and put them on eBay. And think of the amount of money Obama could get for his agenda that way.
Yeah, Craigslist.
Yeah, Craigslist. Steve, all you can do is laugh when you have such incompetent dolts running this country, because there's no point in getting agitated over it. We have screamed, we have begged, we have pointed it out for 16 years I've been doing it, and it's only gotten worse, Steve. Has it gotten better? Has it gotten better since 1994 when I started radio? I started with borders, language, and culture. Our borders have become more porous. Our language has become more watered down. It's now like a Tower of Babel. You have to press 15 to get English now on a telephone. And culture, when has our president last mentioned the essence of our culture? When? When has he last mentioned it? When have you last seen this guy go to a church? The reason he doesn't go to church is because he never went to church. He went to a communist infiltration ground run by Reverend Wright. But let's put that aside, Steve. I wanted to ask you one question. When you were in the Marines, when you originally volunteered for the Marines, you did it because you were patriotic, correct?
Yes, sir.
Yes, Do you feel that the country you fought for and willing to give your life for is the country you're living in today?
Oh, not at all. Not at all. Even with the Vietnam protesters screaming about baby killers when I came back from the war, it still isn't the same country. Back then, there was a definite air of patriotism. But today, it frightens
me. Right. The people who spit on you when you came back from Vietnam are now running the country.
That's right. And the complacency.
The people who spit on you and stopped the troop trains from Oakland Army Terminal are now running the United States government. The SDS... The louts, the drug addicts and perverts in the SDS are now running this country. I know them. Students for the Democrat Society, Bill Ayers, they're running America. They put this president in the White House, Steve. You know it and I know it. And by the way, you have some wonderful congressman over there in Hawaii who's a good friend of them and a fellow traveler. Am I right about that?
Absolutely. Absolutely.
Yeah. He's about to become governor, isn't he, for his good works?
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. Right. Have a nice day. I'll be right back.
A white sport coat and a pink carnation. I'm all dressed up for the dance.
Well, we cannot confirm or deny that Larry King has not invited the Times Square would-be bomber on his show yet. We understand CNN is desperately trying to get him up because he's such a cute-looking guy on Facebook. We understand that half the liberal girls in America want to marry the darling because he's such a cute man. It's so wonderful that he got a green card into our nation that we cannot confirm or deny this. But the New York City bomb suspect's personal documents have been found, his passport, his tax records, and we see a detailed track record of the alleged bomb plotter. And, of course, this should not change your daily activities. You should continue to have faith in your departments of Homeland Security and your FBI and your NYPD, because it was they who didn't do the job. It was a hot dog vendor, a Vietnam veteran, who did it. But they took credit for it. I couldn't believe how they slapped themselves on the back today. One got up. I want to thank Chelly, leave Chelly. Now I want to introduce John Pistoli of the FBI. And the FBI thanked the Homeland Security. And then Big Sis got up like she just came out of. I want to thank you. I got a big pair here, and we saved her. I want to thank contractor. Right? What are they kidding? What do they think? We're all asleep? The guy was on a no-fly list. They didn't do their job. Period. They failed us. If they worked for a corporation, you're fired. If these people worked for a company, you're fired. You're out. Man was on a no-fly list. He was placed in the list last Monday. Before he was arrested. Key step to stop the suspect from fleeing the country. So if they put him on a no-fly list Monday, how come they didn't arrest him? How is it possible that Homeland Security Secretary Janet Napoleon declined to say how Shahaz was able to board the flight if he was on a no-fly list? Answer, because the PR man from NYU was in the Barbados and didn't write the script for her yet. He was on a no-fly list. How the hell did he get to the point of being boarded on a flight out of the country?
on Emirates Airways, Janet Incompetanto. What a great Homeland Security Secretary. Janet Incompetanto. Unbelievable to me. And this is the Obama administration. She did such a good job guarding the borders of Arizona that they gave her the job to make sure that the borders of America were treated the same way as the borders of Arizona. But the last thing you want to do is give up the essence of America. The democracy is such an important tool in the war on terror that the last thing we want to do is give it up. You got to remember that, how important democracy is. It's such a superb system of governance that even if all of us were to die, or let's say 20% of us were to die in nuclear attacks in America, it would be worth it to know that we died as good liberal Americans who believed in the U.S. Constitution. In fact, the more I study the trick system of democracy called democracy, the trick system of government called democracy, the more I become convinced that it was created by rich men to protect rich men. Follow my reasoning on this. Democracy is a system that's put in place if you have plenty of money. For example, your Goldman Sachs, you hire 100 lawyers, and you could definitely get off with anything you did. But let's say you're a poor guy who got caught robbing a hot dog because you were starving. Democracy wouldn't work for you. You're going to go to jail. So where does democracy help you on the bottom? It doesn't. Democracy is a very, very expensive proposition. Let me tell you that. I can tell you from personal experience what it's cost me, $700,000, and I've gotten nowhere. Nowhere to get my name off a list of murderers and terrorists. Isn't it interesting that this bum has a green card in our country and try to kill thousands of Americans, but I'm not allowed to visit England, a Western democracy? Does it show you what's upside down in this country? I have many questions for which there are obvious answers, and there's no point in asking them of you. We're all asking the same questions. So what's the point of asking till we're blue in the face? The man became a U.S. citizen last year, Faisal Shahzad, Muslim man. Now, why is the word Muslim important? I'll let you figure it out. Muslim man. They kept saying Comedy Central. It had nothing whatsoever to do with this. Nothing. It had nothing to do with health care. It had nothing to do with anything to do with anything that the jerk said. Nothing. The only question is, if he was on a no-fly list on Monday, why did he try to sizzle the bomb off yesterday? Why couldn't they stop him? Can anyone explain that to me? Answer, because the government is useless. We're completely defenseless. We have a bunch of appeasers and quislings running the country. Homeland Security Secretary Janet Napolitano declines to say how Shahzad was able to board the flight if he was on a no-fly list. The answer is because the answer to this is simple. The answer to the question is obvious. The reason he was able to board the flight, even though he's on a no-fly list, is because we have Homeland Security Secretary Janet Incompetanto. We have an administration filled with political hacks who are incompetent. They're incompetents. Half of them are playing for the other team. And nothing happens. Plane is taxiing away and they stop him? It's unbelievable to me. They're nothing. Nothing, 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 nothing. The important thing is that we didn't racially profile. The most important thing is that CAIR was not in somehow enraged on Monday by stopping him. The important thing is that the ACLU was not seeking a suit against the government. The important thing is that Al Sharpton was not marching arm in arm with members of CAIR screaming about racial profiling. The important thing is that it's hush hush, my darling, and business as usual for Mayor Bloomberg, who thought it was over health care. New York City, WOR John. John, am I making sense today or not?
Michael, you're on the money. Let me explain something to you real quick. No one knew who this guy was prior to Saturday, correct? Now he's a superstar. We lost on this deal, but we won. We won because there wasn't an explosion. We lost because the fuse was lit. Due to their incompetence, their inexperience, we didn't have an incident. Number two, they still haven't found the individual or individuals who bombed the Mexican consulate in New York City. They still have not have found.
All right, well, that's another story. That's another story, but thanks for the input. All right, I'll be right back on the Savage Nation.
Savage.
Well, my friends and I were coming out of a club last night, and we got the ATB, and we were real proud of how we did the takedown today at Emirates Airwaves. We got a lot to congratulate ourselves for. I mean, we went up there and quite a big takedown we had. I got to thank all my friends for hanging out in the club with me, how we surveyed him and brought him on down. Smoking bag removed from Houston Amsterdam flight is another one, not identifying who did it because it wasn't a white male from Michigan. A ruptured smoking suitcase removed from an outgoing international flight is being examined by fire crews and bomb specialists at Houston's busiest airport. This just came into us on the Savage Nation. It's business as usual, as you well know, for certain people of a certain orientation from certain nations. But officials say luggage was being loaded onto an Amsterdam-bound KLM flight when a baggage handler at George Bush Intercontinental Airport found a suitcase that appeared to have ruptured with smoke coming from it. The handler carried the bag away from the plane and terminal, called emergency crews. They said fire chief, blah, 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 says bomb crews hit the suitcase with a water gun and were examining it. There was no explosion, no injuries. In other words, it's not related to terrorism. It was just a suitcase that spontaneously combusted. It must have had old underwear in it. You certainly don't want to report that it was an individual of a particular nation going home or anything like that. Another wonderful friend of ours from the Middle East, perhaps. No, it was a suitcase that caught fire. You know, probably a white male put pictures of his grandparents in a daguerreotypes. And, you know, daguerreotypes, after a number of years, break down. And the breakdown products, as you well know, probably can self-emoliate. And so, again, it was probably a white male's suitcase that did it. Let's see what else just came out. Muslim leader says U.S. enemy should leave. A leader of Ahmadiyya Islamic minority on Tuesday implored U.S. Muslims who would attack the country to leave after a Pakistani-American was charged in a car bomb plot. The Ahmadiyya, who mostly hail from Pakistan, break with mainstream Islam by not believing Muhammad was the last prophet. Shocking. Shocking. The Homeland Security better arrest him. They also advocate a separation of mosque and state. That's unheard of in the Obama administration. Nassim Mahdi, the U.S. Ahmadiyya community's missionary in charge, said that Muslims across the U.S. face both economic and social ruin unless they spoke up more loudly against violent elements. No, they don't. They have the government protecting. What ruin? What are you talking about? You've got big sis protecting you. What are you worried about? What are you talking? We have to stand up and say that this is nonsense. This is not acceptable to us. If our loyalties are somewhere else, why should we be here and enjoy the benefits of this beautiful country, he told a news conference. And he said they should leave the country. Well, that's all well and good, but the fact is they're not under any trouble here. The only people who are suspect in this country are white males, as I said to you. And I'll say it over and over again. If you listen to the vermin in the media, they immediately jumped and said it was a white male, white male, white male. Then they said it was Mayor Bloomberg, said somebody was disgruntled over health care. You know, where does it leave you as a person? How should you conduct your life? What are you supposed to do when you know that you have a bunch of flat-footed bums running everything who are afraid of their own shadow, looking for retirement, afraid to get demoted, afraid to get a comment in there? What are you supposed to do? I guess you got to become like the hot dog salesman in New York, the Vietnam veteran. You see something, you got to report it to a cop because it's the guys on the bottom who are going to save the country, not the people on the top. The same, there's nothing new under the sun. Life goes on. You have to live your life. You have to take care of your own garden. You have to protect yourself and your family, as has been the case from the beginning of time. You should get a weapon, a legal weapon, wherever you live. Wherever you live, you should make sure that you know how to use a firearm. Make sure you can protect yourself and your family if someone tries to harm you. That's all you can do. You can't do anything else. Go about your business. I mean, what else are you going to do? Like last night, what am I supposed to do last night? I went to a restaurant. I had a great time. I went to my friends at Aliota. I haven't been there in months. I know what cuisine is again. You have a drink and you eat. You have the mussels marinara, the seafood sausage. And after a drink and a few, you know, bites of food, I mean, the world is what it is. Has it ever been any different? What, it was a better world 200 years ago? It was an easier world for your father than this world is for you? I mean, it's the same world in a way, only it'll, in some ways much more dangerous because we have so many enemies, foreign enemies living here in this country as citizens who never should have been allowed in the country. In plain English, they should look at every Pakistani living in the United States of America going back 10 years. I would say anyone who came in more than 10 years ago is probably an older person who means us no harm. I'd say anyone who came here in the last 10 years, I'd review their papers. You put me in charge, that's what I do. Whether you like it or not, that's what I would do. I would think it's long overdue that we investigated any citizen
who came here from Pakistan over the last 10 years. Now, Senator Joe Lieberman said it's going too far to reexamine naturalized U.S. citizens from select countries like Pakistan in light of this incident. He said, I wouldn't want to single out a group. Well, you should, Joey boy. He says, the majority of citizens of Pakistani descent are totally loyal to our country. How the hell do you know that, Lieberman? But then Lieberman went on. He said, an old law that allows the U.S. government to strip somebody of his or her citizenship if he is found fighting with an enemy military force should be amended to cover people found to be affiliated with foreign terror groups. If you remember, Mr. Zazi, another Muslim, a Colorado shuttle driver, an Afghan citizen, was also able to clear the immigration process and become a permanent U.S. resident. Remember that? Remember that? He forgot all of that. He pled guilty in a plot to bomb the New York City subway system in February. So the naturalization process is a sham. All they got to do is get a cockamamie sick lawyer from NYU who's a greedy piece of garbage to buy his way into the system. Anyone could get a green card. Everybody knows that. There is no such thing as a real difficulty, particularly if you're from a certain country. They want to get as many of them in as they can. Now, on the other hand, if you're a white male from Britain or from Ireland or from Europe and you're a war hero, I can guarantee you'll never get citizenship in the United States of America because there are too many of you in the United States and there's got to be less of you in order to break the hegemony and make the new omelet called the New World Order. Spokane, Washington. Tom, welcome to the Savage Nation. Go ahead, please.
Dr. Savage, you may have the only honest show left. Thank you very much. I'll get right to the point. I'm a combat Vietnam veteran, a real one, and a real Bronze Star and a real Purple Heart, not like the Bronze Star that this administration gave to that cop for training other cops in Iraq. That made me, I was furious over that.
Well, hold on. Who did they give it to? I'm sorry.
There was a police officer imported into Iraq about a month ago that it was on our newspapers here in Spokane that had received a Bronze Star for his training efforts to train other policemen in Iraq.
Oh, not combat-related Bronze Star. Well, wait a minute. You know, I'm not a war veteran. I had a friend who fought with Patton who, when he died, gave me his Bronze Star. I cherish this. Herb Sokol fought in the tank division with Patton. Herb was a real combat veteran. I thought Bronze Stars are only given to combat veterans. When did they start giving them to non-combat veterans?
I don't know, sir. I'd like that question answered, too. But to get right to my point, how convenient that this oil rig blew up when it did. And 10 years ago, if I'd asked this question myself, I would have had me committed. But I watch what they do, and I don't listen to a thing they say anymore. I want to know why that oil rig blew up, and I want to know... I'd like them to examine the pieces of it. I'd like...
Did you hear my show the other night where we read from a Russian website where they said that the Russian media is abuzz with the rumor that it was a North Korean midget submarine that blew up the platform and then immolated itself? It was a suicide sub?
I did not, sir, but that doesn't surprise me at all.
Well, in other words, I asked why were tax squads being sent to the oil rigs in the Gulf of Mexico? What does that have to do with an oil rig accident? In other words, the government's covering that up as well. How do we know that wasn't a terrorist-related event?
Well, how do we know it wasn't a domestic terrorist-related attempt, too?
Well, you covered that the other day. Right, we went through that because I think that it's too big a task for, let's say, some of these liberal groups to have pulled off. It had to be a state-sponsored event is what we came to the other day on the Savage Nation. Anyway, Tom, thank you for listening to the Savage Nation. 1-800-449-8255, michaelsavage.com. Anne in Portland, Oregon, you're next up. Go ahead, please.
Hi, Dr. Savage.
Yes.
I'm sorry for stammering, I'm a bit nervous. I wanted to know what your opinion was on whether you think that we are in the beginning stages or middle stages of World War III.
And we have been in World War III since 1993 at least, when again Muslims blew up the World Trade Center and didn't succeed in bringing it down. Remember that?
This
war has been going on since 1993, but we have cowards running everything who refuse to say what's going on, that it's partly a religious war, partly a cultural war. They don't want to acknowledge it. Instead, they're bending over backwards to let the enemy know that we definitely are afraid of them and fear their anger and wrath towards us. And that is why the enemy is getting bolder and bolder and bolder. We do not have leadership required for this task. Look what happened to poor George Bush when he actually took the war to the enemy in Iraq. Look what the vermin in the media made of Bush because of that.
Right.
So you're afraid that we actually, of course we're at war. They have secret agents slipping into the country under the guise of citizenship. We're all told to look the other way, even though we know that some of them might be doing suspicious things. You know that if you reported this guy 2 weeks ago to the, let's say you lived in Connecticut and this guy was doing something suspicious, the police probably would have asked you if you were racially profiling. Am I correct about that?
Yep.
That's right. Al Sharpton probably would have been outside your door screaming that you were a racist 2 weeks ago if you had said whatever this bum's name, oh, he did this, he did that, why did he buy the car, why did he have cash? Huh? Well, if you asked the question, I guarantee you that they would have said you were a racist for asking the question. So at this point, until the culture itself is changed to something more sane, we're going to have more and more of these events until eventually the big one goes off somewhere in America. I'm saying history is a very good teacher. And history teaches us certain things. And you think I just want to scare you, you're wrong. But I'd like to alert you to the fact that I absolutely believe that they're working around the clock to get a dirty bomb into this country and set it off, if not something bigger. And I'll go a step further and tell you they probably have the components already in this country, and they haven't yet succeeded in doing it. Will they be successful in doing it? The odds are they will. Why do I say it? Because the very same government that could not stop this bomb yesterday, the bomb in Times Square, have told us over and over and over again that it's only a matter of time until they do succeed. I didn't say it, they did. And then they congratulated themselves for telling you that. So you say, well, what would you do if you were different? Excuse me, what would you do, Michael Savage, if you had the power? Tell me what you would do that's different from Janet Napolitano, that's different from FBI Director Mueller. How would you do it differently? I think that's the crux of the question. How would you act differently? What policies would you put in place that aren't there? What policies would you eliminate that are there in order to make sure that more of these guys do not get away with a terrorist act? And I think common sense would dictate that you must have racial and you must have national profiling in order to survive as a nation. That until you start racially profiling and until you start profiling people from certain nations, we are doomed. In other words, unless we stop being political cowards, we're finished as a nation. That's my opinion. I'll be right back.
Savage.
Well, here I sit in San Francisco and watching the world go round. I'm amazed at New Yorkers, how they pretend as if this is an isolated incident, that a lone, lone kind of guy, it's not going to happen. We're at war. They're sending him in. They're giving him the green cards, and they've got a compliant government that bends over backwards to make sure that they look the other way. And that's the end of the story, despite the manhunt, despite the fact that the guy was on a no-watch list, a no-fly list. The guy cleared security, got on a plane. And the government then gets up and congratulates themselves, and we're not supposed to. You know, I couldn't believe it, the self-congratulatory stuff. It was amazing today. Listen to clip three.
I'd like to thank the dedicated men and women of the Department of Homeland Security whose work on the case was instrumental in apprehending this suspect. Customs and Border Protection successfully...
Thank you very much. I'm sorry it doesn't fly west of the Hudson River. Maybe it flies in New York City where the marijuana clinics are greater in number than the number of churches. But the fact of the matter is, it does not fly west of the Hudson River, Miss Napolitano. I'm sorry. This is like four strikes already, four or five strikes you failed. And it's getting very, very dangerous. That's all there is to it. But worse than her was the billionaire mayor who bought the mayorship, Bloomberg, who said the bombing suspect was probably someone obsessed with the health care. Listen to clip nine.
I think, yes, 25 cents. This would be exactly that. Somebody
who's homegrown,
a mentally deranged person or somebody with a political agenda that doesn't like the health care bill or something. It could be anything.
Anything. So he's talking to Katie Couric, and they both go that it was someone who was deranged and didn't like the health care system who did it. Now, Bloomberg hasn't gotten up today and said he was wrong. You wouldn't expect that, would you? I wouldn't expect the mayor to do that. But you know the biggest shock of all today was the ex-DHS employee, Michael Balboni, who gave away every trick in the book on how they caught this guy. I couldn't believe this. Listen to clip 14. No, listen. Make believe you're living in a cage in Krapistan, in a cave in Krapistan, and you're watching the stupid Americans who caught this low-grade criminal before, you know, his bomb didn't go off because you probably didn't want it to go off. Maybe you were doing it for your own reasons, trial run, who knows what. Now you listen to all these schmucks grandstanding, and now they're telling how they caught the guy. Listen to clip 14.
They worked off the VIN, the vehicle identification number of the truck that was used. They traced it back to its prior owner. They received an email address, and they identified the individual through that and other information that they were able to gather from the vehicle itself. Remember, you know, because the bomb did not go off, there was a treasure trove of information in that Pathfinder. And now, of course, they have more in the car that was at the airport and at his house. So you're getting a lot of information.
Yeah, all right. And the White House is in a panic over the spill in the Gulf of Mexico. Everyone knows that Obama and his incompetence is identical, if not worse, to President Bush's response to Hurricane Katrina. Everyone's saying, where is FEMA? The answer is nowhere to be found because the president was busy giving jokes the other night in New York. So there's a lot to talk about. There's an awful lot to talk about. But until we get serious about profiling people based on nationality, we're going to have more and more of these terrorist events until eventually the big one goes off. That's my opinion. It's the fundamental essence of all police work is profiling of one kind or another. Sometimes race, sometimes car type of profiling. I mean, sometimes behavioral profiling, but you need profiling. Otherwise, there's no police work. In other words, how can you sort out who might have done it unless you reduce the elements to the elements that make sense? But if you've lost the ability to do that because of the ACLU and other the race baiters who are out there screaming race every time somebody is hauled in, then it's inevitable that these people will be able to get away with this over and over and over again until eventually the big one goes off. Michael in New York on WOR. Go ahead, please. You're up in the Savage Nation.
Okay, good evening. I'm a mile and a half away from the United Nations political pornographers. Anyway, I would say that I was pulled by our mayor, Bloomberg. He has an anemic sense of humor, and I love what you said, that you could be a billionaire and be a moron. And
that's right. You know, see, once we learned with Madoff, you could be a billionaire and be a common criminal. Today we learned that you could be a billionaire and be a moron.
Now, I'm a retired cop, and I have, you know, the profile, the phrase profile has been contaminated by the ACLU and all those characters. So the time has come for you to coin a new phrase, and my suggestion is sizing up the suspect or sizing up.
That's an old phrase my father used to use. He used to size me up every night when I came home to see what I was up to.
So just size up instead of...
My father would size me up. He said, well, what have you been up to tonight? Let me say, he would say, where were you tonight? He sized me up pretty good. He was profiling me. It's called common sense, but guys like you are no longer running the police department. Now it's all a different story. The graduates, they all have graduate degrees in stupidity. Everyone has a graduate degree in affirmative action, another graduate degree with special courses at Columbia on how to file a claim if somebody should sneeze in your direction and make you feel insensitive and make you feel uncomfortable. You immediately file a grievance complaint with the police chief saying that the day you went to work, you felt uncomfortable, and as a result of it, you have to take disability, and you wanted it to double the annual pay of the 20th year of service so you can go out and get another job in Kew Gardens working for a lifeguard stand and make triple pay as a policeman who won a bronze medal.
Savage.
Warning, The Michael Savage Show contains adult language, adult content, psychological nudity. Listener discretion is advised.
And now, America's most exciting radio talk show, The Savage Nation. Here is Michael Savage.
that guy? And what's he doing? They want to talk to this man. The video shows a middle-aged white man changing his shirt.
A person of interest, a white man said to be in his 40s.
Do you know this man? A surveillance video shows a middle-aged white man changing his shirt just about a half block from where the SUV was abandoned.
It's a possible suspect described as a white male appearing to be in his mid-40s.
This person of interest, they say, who's a white man in his 40s, they think, who is seen not far from the vehicle changing shirts.
The guy in the video seen here is described as a white male in his 40s. He's seen stopping to take off a sweatshirt.
The NYPD is now searching for somebody they describe to be a white male believed to be in his 40s.
Somebody
who's homegrown,
maybe a mentally deranged person or somebody with a political agenda.
Middle-aged white man.
White man said to be in his 40s.
Middle-aged white man.
White male in his 40s.
Is a white male in his mid-40s.
White male believed to be in his 40s. White man in his 40s, they think.
Do you know this man?
A white sport coat and a pink carnation. I'm all dressed up for the dance.
These are the questions that we've been asking on the Savage Nation. Do you feel that the government acted responsibly in preventing this attack? Do you feel that a reasonably competent director of Homeland Security would have stopped the bomber before he ever drove his vehicle into Times Square? Why do you think Janet Napolitano has been unsuccessful in stopping the bomber and the earlier bombs? Should we let more immigrants into the country? Sure. And by the way, what questions should be asked of a person who wants to become a naturalized citizen of the United States? Does it really matter? Who do you think was the most disappointed that the bomber wasn't a white man or a white militia member after he is identified as being a Muslim? The FBI revealed that the bomber was questioned and then read his rights or Mirandized. Should this bum have been Mirandized at all? Or I thought we had a Patriot Act that for various reasons they can override the Miranda rights normally afforded someone stopped for a traffic violation. And so it led to, did Napolitano fail us again? That's the pregnant question of the day. I mean, it seems clear to me that the answer is yes. For example, we asked, why was the Times Square bomber Faisal Shahzad not arrested earlier? Well, he was not only on a watch list, but he had been screened secondarily when he returned from his last trip to Pakistan. Do you feel that Napolitano's Department of Homeland Security was out for donuts while they were watching him? Or were they afraid to arrest him for fear of the ACLU and CAIR? Do you think big sis Napolitano bent over backwards because this terrorist was a Muslim and not a white man in Michigan? See, inquiring minds want the answers to these questions. The most telling piece of news about Napolitano's role in all of this came during the press conference today after the Times Square bomber's arrest. A smart reporter asked Big Sis the following question. He said, when he returned from Pakistan, he underwent some kind of secondary screening after his last trip, and that in some way led to this arrest. But why was he screened when he came back, and what was learned? In other words, if he was given an extra screening the last time he came back from Pakistan into the U.S., why was he not arrested then? As Big Sis answered, her eyes began shifting around quickly, and she finished up abruptly by saying, without getting into a lot of detail, he was screened when he came back because some of the targeting rules applied. He was subjected to secondary screening. He is a naturalized U.S. citizen, and I'm just going to leave it at that. A naturalized citizen? Big Sis realized that she had said too much. She screened him when he was naturalized, but she didn't stop him. She put him on a watch list, but she didn't watch him. She screened him when he came back into the country after traveling to Pakistan for terrorist training, but the government still didn't stop him. This government has failed again and again and again. The only reason that thousands of people were not killed in Times Square is because the bomber was too incompetent to make his bomb right. But he was competent enough to fool our security agencies. At least that's what thousands and thousands of people are thinking. This is the Savage Nation. I was watching military history last night. I was shocked by something. I see us repeating the history of the 1930s all over again. Our enemies are building up their military. We're building down our military, tearing down our military. Our enemies are increasing the rhetoric against America and we're going softer on them than ever before. And I said, this happened before in England. Hitler's building up his military, building up an air force, which they weren't allowed to have. Britain does nothing. And then I see that the Nazis flew a plane that crashed in Scotland, and the crew died. This was before the war. A Nazi-marked plane crashed in Scotland. Do you know what the Scots did? They gave the dead Nazi airmen a full military burial with full honors, as though they were equal soldiers to the British. This is how insane Britain had become just before World War II. But there were a few people, notably Winston Churchill, who were warning the Brits that they would be decimated, overrun by the Hun, unless they too built up their military and got the boys ready for war. But they were called every name under the sun the same way we on the conservative side are called every name under the sun as we try to warn you about the gathering storm clouds. Nobody wants war. Everybody would rather have peace. Nobody wants to live in bloodshed. Everybody would rather have peace and love. But take a look at Ahmadinejad. He is now, one day he's in South America giving that maniac troops, giving him nuclear material, and we do nothing. Every day, the Hitler of Iran is signaling what he's going to do the minute he gets the nuclear bomb, and we do nothing. Zero. I don't understand this.
You didn't catch this one, but you heard it on the Savage Nation. At a Hispanic immigration rally the other day, a speaker introduced a man who commenced with a prayer, not a Christian prayer, but a Muslim prayer. It ended with the Muslims in the crowd cheering widely.
We did not start with a prayer, but we're going to end with a prayer. I'm proud to pray as our religious friends.
Good afternoon. I'm Imam Samir. We heard too many speeches. Now it's time to pray. Oh God Almighty, at that particular time, guide our leader, guide ourselves to achieve the justice for the worker, for the immigration. Oh God, Ameen. فأما اليتيم فلا تقهر وأما السائل فلا تنهر وأما بنعمة ربك فحدث. Ameen.
So, who's behind the immigration push? I'll let you figure it out. Maybe it's friends of the Times Square would-be bomber. Then, of course, there was the other disgusting interview by Charlie Rose, whoever he is, interviewing the Hitler of our time, the Iranian Hitler, Mahmoud Ahmadinejad. You cannot believe what this man had the nerve to say in our country.
I think there's a problem within the inside the U.S. government, the politicians, the statesmen, that somehow somewhat prevents the relations between Iran and the United States to improve. Once that problem is resolved within the United States, the problems between the two countries will be removed. There are a group of radicals in the United States who see their interests in conflicts.
It's unbelievable to me how Charlie Rose gets away with being such an un-American, seditious piece of media uselessness. That's the sound. I mean, what a day today on the Savage Nation.
Savage.
We've been talking about Muslim terrorism and the government incompetence, but there is financial terrorism going on in the world that has to do with government incompetence as well. One of the most serious problems is that which is going on in Greece. Joining us now from Cato, as it is, Jeffrey Miron, to discuss what is going on in Greece. Jeffrey Miron, welcome to the Savage Nation.
Thanks very much for having me on. It's a pleasure to be here.
What is happening?
Well, the basic situation is that Greece has been running substantial budget deficits for an extended period for years, and recently those have gotten, the debt that it owes has gotten larger and larger. It's financed that debt by borrowing from abroad, from other European Union countries and various places around the world, and it's becoming apparent that it's very unlikely to be able to repay all that borrowing, and there is a deadline coming up where a lot of that debt is supposed to be reset and various payments are due. And so as that became clear and clearer that Greece was just not going to be able to pay up, its debt became worth less, the interest rates it was facing came much higher, and people started worrying that it was going to default. And so some people's response was, we need to bail them out, so that either the European Union or the International Monetary Fund should somehow restructure their loan, make it less expensive, transfer some money to them so that they can pay their debts, rather than just letting the market process work and letting them end up defaulting if they can't, in fact, repay their debts. And my position was it's better to let them default than to bail them out.
Why?
Well, bailing them out basically means taking money from countries other than Greece, mainly from Germany, France, the other major countries of Europe, to some extent from a lot of other countries if there is IMF money that goes to Greece, because the IMF is funded by lots of countries, including the United States. It's transferring that wealth from all those other countries to Greece. And since Greece has run poor economic policies, since Greece has maintained an enormous government sector that's very inefficient, Greece has done a terrible job at enforcing its tax code and so on, many people's opinions, including mine, is that Greece made mistakes. Greece should pay for those mistakes, not the French or the Germans or Americans. And so a bailout allows Greece to sort of rely on other people to cover its mistakes, whereas letting them default forces Greece to pay for its own mistakes, to accept the consequences of that and have to gradually rebuild its economy before it's going to have access to borrowing from the international community in the future.
Well, that would do nothing to solve the problems that got them there.
Exactly. If we bail them out, one possibility is that they say, okay, we're sorry, we appreciate the fact that you've taken care of it this time, and we'll immediately reform and we'll never make these mistakes again. I think anyone who's ever had a teenager would think that that's kind of a crazy view. What's more likely, in my view, is that if we bail them out, that will mean they don't have to adjust all of the bad policies that are in place. They will be able to go along another year or two or three without facing huge debt repayments, without facing the risk of default, but they won't adjust their policies and make their economy more productive, so we'll be back in the same situation with this initial bailout having been already spent two or three years down the line. So that doesn't make any sense at all to me.
How does this affect the rest of Europe?
Well, there's sort of two things to consider. One possibility is that if Greece defaults, that somehow there's a negative effect on everybody else. There's a contagion to other countries, that perceptions or worries about the Greek default lead to perceptions or increased likelihood of default in Portugal or Spain or maybe a few others. I don't think that view is very convincing. I don't think that if other countries are healthy, there's any reason that the Greek default should cause the other countries to default, in the same way that if one business fails, it doesn't necessarily mean other businesses are going to fail. If one homeowner defaults on a mortgage, it doesn't mean another homeowner can't continue to make its mortgage payments if it has a job, an income, etc. I think what's happening is that the risk, the increased discussion of the fact that Greece might default is getting countries to take a new look, an additional closer look at other countries that also have a lot of debt, that have run big deficits, that have economies that don't seem to be growing very quickly and are not very productive. And so they're realizing Greece is probably not the only bad apple in the barrel. There are other bad apples. And so the possibility is out there that other countries may default as well. And recently the rating agencies have downgraded the debt of Portugal and Spain. That's exactly what is suggested by that maybe people have taken a new look and realized those countries are not in particularly good shape either. But I think the main reason is those countries have also not run good policies and don't have productive growing economies. It's not the contagion that's the main thing. So I don't think the fact that there are these other countries in trouble means we should bail out Greece. Indeed, just the opposite. I think if we bail out Greece, then it's inevitable that it will be impossible politically to say no to Portugal and Spain. So there will be even more transfers from the more successful economies to the ones that are in trouble right now.
What's happening now?
Well, it looks as though there, in fact, is going to be a bailout. It seems that political will to avoid bailouts is not very strong. Obviously, we saw that in the United States back in 2008 with the TARP program, the bailout of the Wall Street financial institutions. And there's lots of other bailouts that occurred around the world in 2008 and 2009. And this is another example. I think it probably comes down to who loses and who gains from bailout versus default. If there's default, those defaults are going to especially go to sort of large banks, the creditors with substantial political clout who don't like the idea of that default, who prefer the bailout because the bailout money comes from the general taxpayers of Germany and France and et cetera, whereas the default will especially hurt the people who actually lent money to Greece. So I think the bailout probably will occur, because that's the way the political dynamic works. It doesn't make it good economics. I think it's the wrong economics.
Well, what would the fallout be?
I think the effects are not going to be obvious in the short term. The taxpayers of Germany, France, et cetera, are a little poorer because this money is being transferred to Greece. But it's not enough compared to the size of those economies to make a huge difference. The negative is that as we go forward in time, other countries will say to themselves, look, you know, if we borrow a lot to maintain a higher level of consumption than our economic output can sustain, we probably will get bailed out too. And so it just encourages a general pattern of individuals, countries wanting to live beyond their means, wanting to have more consumption than their own income is able to pay for, borrowing to be able to do that, eventually being in a position where they can't repay it because they've consumed too much, and then someone else has to pay for it. And little by little, all of those bailouts transfer from the people who are more responsible to the people who are less responsible, and they discourage people from wanting to engage in productive activity because it's not productive activity that gets rewarded, it's overconsuming that gets rewarded. So that's very bad for the productivity of the world economy. As we go forward, we will have slower and slower growth as these bailouts proliferate and as that affects people's incentives to work hard.
Jeffrey Miron, thanks for being on the Savage Nation.
Savage.
Across the Bay Area and across the country, tens of thousands turn out in protest of Arizona's tough new immigration law. Hello, everyone. Those demonstrations have been going on all day and stretching into the night.
Joining us now with a Savage Nation exclusive is Jack Hunter.
I appreciate being on with you this evening, Michael. There's been a lot of hysteria, obviously, over this Arizona law, this anti-illegal immigration legislation. Many on the left, you saw the protests over the weekend, the May Day protests, are saying that this is an encroachment upon American civil rights. A lot of liberals are saying that the 14th Amendment does not allow this new law to go into effect because of equal protection under the law. Well, not only is that not true, but I have sort of a different take on it that I haven't seen many people really look at it from this perspective. First of all, the 14th Amendment, if that's true, that if you stop a suspected illegal alien, or let me take that back, a criminal, because that's the way the law reads in Arizona. If you stop somebody who is in the middle of a crime or drunk driving or speeding or a traffic infraction or what have you, and after that happens, you suspect they're an illegal alien, people are saying that's racial profiling, therefore is not constitutionally protected under the 14th Amendment. If that's true, and police are, say, I don't know, looking for rape suspects, and they're looking just for men, does that mean those men's 14th Amendment rights have been violated because they were not also looking for women? Were they not gender profiling, if you will? So it's a little ridiculous on the face of it, the idea that somehow somebody's 14th Amendment rights are being violated with this Arizona law. I just don't see it that way. Police officers make all sorts of judgments and decisions all the time, and this certainly falls into that sort of reasonable category there. This is just basic law enforcement. What the Arizona law does is takes what is already a federal offense that they don't enforce and makes it a state offense. The states have to step up when the federal government shirks its responsibility. But what is particularly interesting to me about this whole Arizona brouhaha are many, especially in Washington, D.C., who are really saying, you know, this is unconstitutional, this is an encroachment upon civil liberties. Guys like, oh, I don't know, Chuck Schumer or President Obama. It is amusing to me that those who push most for amnesty for illegal aliens, and I'm talking about George W. Bush, Dick Cheney, guys like Lindsey Graham, my own senator here from South Carolina, and of course Chuck Schumer, the Obama administration, Janet Napolitano, all of these Washington leaders from both parties pretty much support open borders and push hard for amnesty for illegal aliens. These are the same people who are first to want to enact something like the Patriot Act, or as Obama has done, extended, who are the most enthusiastic about the Department of Homeland Security, who are very enthusiastic, as Chuck Schumer and Lindsey Graham are right now, about national identification, so-called Real ID, or whatever they're calling it now, including biometric identification, sort of an Orwellian 1984-style chip, if you will, or something like that.
Mm-hmm.
when people talk about civil liberties and they're worried about Arizona, but you know, becoming some sort of Nazi police fascist state or something with this new law, it strikes me as funny that the exact opposite is actually true, that the people who push most for open borders in Washington, D.C., from both parties, are the first to want the heavy hand of federal government to intrude in the lives of citizens, to encroach upon American citizens' civil liberties. It is just amusing to me to no end, and I haven't really heard very many people mention it, that those most reluctant to keep tabs on people who are in this country illegally are the most enthusiastic about keeping tabs on actual American citizens. We need to look at recent history just to see how much civil rights are going to be encroached upon if states start stepping up and doing what Arizona's doing. I'm in South Carolina. Our beleaguered governor, Mark Sanford, now most known for the Argentina scandal. Well, before all that happened, in 2008, Mark Sanford signed into law what many consider the toughest illegal immigration law in the country, in South Carolina. He was told by the federal government, Governor Sanford, you are overstepping your boundaries. You can't do this. Well, the law stays in place to this day and has been quite effective. Not very much longer after that, maybe a couple of months, Mark Sanford made a name for himself again standing up to the federal government. What was he doing? He was opposing Real ID. He and most of the Republicans in this state, most conservatives, period, were opposed to the idea of the federal government keeping tabs on citizens through some sort of national identification. He was actually at war with our own Senator Lindsey Graham in this state.
Well, why is that important?
Now, I bring that up because, you know, according to what people are saying about this Arizona law now, that this is the beginning of some rising, emerging police state, nothing of the sort is true. And look at the example of South Carolina, a governor who enacted what many believe to be the toughest anti-illegal immigration legislation in the country, who also is against national ID, real ID, whatever you want to call it, national identification. And in both instances, the federal government said, Mark Sanford, you are overstepping your boundaries. Department of Homeland Security Director Michael Chertoff told Mark Sanford on the illegal immigration issue and the national identification issue that he had no right to be doing what he's doing as the governor of South Carolina. And guess what? We defied the federal government, and the law stands as far as it goes with legal immigration, and the Real ID was never implemented. So it shows you that Arizona is not only doing the right thing, but even recent history tells us that the 10th Amendment of the Constitution, where states are asserting their sovereignty once again and saying, federal government, we're not going to take it anymore. They're certainly paving a path that more states should follow, Arizona, that is.
I see what you mean.
It seems like there's also two different arguments here. You know, I call half the time people say, well, Jack Hunter, he's a conservative, or Jack Hunter's a libertarian, depending on what the issue is. And I answer to both, quite frankly. I'm not in support of a larger police state. I'm always opposed in general to giving government more power, even local police. But we are at a point here in Arizona where you have 600,000 illegal immigrants. You have parts of the Phoenix Police Department, you have special departments, rather, that are dedicated to addressing human trafficking and the drug cartels down there. Things are really out of control. I do not want an emerging, rising police state or a new fascism in America, as so many that protested over the weekend seem to imply, but that's not what's going on at all. This is basic question about sovereignty, state sovereignty and American sovereignty. If you don't have borders, do you really have a country?
Exactly.
Does citizenship mean anything? Should it stand for something? What is American freedom? When George W. Bush or Barack Obama talk about American freedom, oh, well, they're always talking about maybe imposing it on some foreign nation through some war in Iraq or Afghanistan or something like that. When they talk about American freedom in terms of open borders, it's always this globalist, universalist idea that, oh, well, American freedom is open to everybody and just let everybody come here. Let's have complete open borders. Invade the world, invite the world, if you will, is their philosophy, it seems to be. Well, I think American freedom is something more particular than that. Whether it was immigrants who came through Ellis Island or any time in our history, until our most recent history, quite frankly, it's something that people worked for. They strive for. It was something particular. People wanted to learn English. They wanted to be part of the fabric of American society, if you will. That's not what we're seeing today. We're basically seeing, you know, our large social welfare system being taken advantage of by illegal aliens, and they think that's American freedom. And I'm not so sure presidents like Bush or Barack Obama or many other of our Washington leaders necessarily disagree with them. So what does it mean at this point? Is freedom not connected to sovereignty? I would argue that it is. Is freedom not connected to a certain type of liberty that is in, you know, our citizenship? Does that indicate freedom? I think it is. And we need to start talking in those terms again, whether as conservatives or libertarians. And if you're for open borders, we can talk about that. But I think it's a recipe for disaster. And quite frankly, 70% of the people of Arizona disagree with you. And they see these problems on their doorstep every day and are stepping up and doing something about it.
Right, right, right.
It's funny that people are talking about the state of Arizona overstepping its bounds, that this is something unprecedented. But quite frankly, the one and only legitimate function constitutionally of our federal government is to secure and protect our borders. The one thing they're supposed to do, there's nothing in the Constitution saying we should have national health care or cap and trade or stimulus or bailouts. The one thing they're supposed to do, securing and protecting our borders, they are not doing. Not only is Arizona doing the right thing, but they have no choice anymore.
Thanks for the report, Jack.
Well, I appreciate you having me on, Michael, and for what I've talked about and more of the same, you can go to SouthernAvenger.com.
I'll be right back.
Savage.
Our government has failed us once again, in my opinion. Janet Napolitano of Homeland Security had chance after chance to stop and arrest the Times Square bomber before he even drove his bomb into Times Square. But this government missed them all. Listen to her squirm as a reporter asks her about it.
When he returned from Pakistan, he underwent some kind of secondary screening after his last trip, and that contributed in some way to his arrest. Why was he screened when he came back, and what was learned?
Without getting into a lot of detail, he was screened when he came back because some of the targeting rules applied. He was subjected to secondary screening. He is a naturalized U.S. citizen, and I'm just going to leave it at that.
She finished up her answer pretty quickly once she realized she had said too much. And here she is patting herself and her department on the back for the great job they did.
I'd like to thank the dedicated men and women of the Department of Homeland Security whose work on the case was instrumental in apprehending this suspect. Customs and Border Protection successfully apprehended the suspect after its agents and analysts had been tracking outbound flights for a potential suspect for the past 3 days. Immigration and Customs Enforcement agents served an important role in the Joint Terrorism Task Force in New York as the lead law enforcement agency on the international aspects of the investigation, interviewing witnesses and running down leads.
But none of the leads you had before he set up his bomb, or almost did. Deputy FBI Director John Pistole said they interviewed him, but then read him his rights.
Joint Terrorism Task Force agents and officers from NYPD interviewed Mr. Shahzad last night and early this morning under the public safety exception to the Miranda rule. He was, as the Attorney General noted, cooperative and provided valuable intelligence and evidence. He was eventually transported to another location, Mirandized, and continued talking.
Well, I ask, why Mirandize him at all? Are you that anxious to give work to the ACLU? Of course, the very fact that this bomber was a Muslim was a huge disappointment to the media, who just the day before told you to be on the lookout for a white man.
Who is that guy, and what's he doing? They want to talk to this man. The video shows a middle-aged white man changing his shirt.
A person of interest, a white man said to be in his 40s.
Do you know this man? A surveillance video shows a middle-aged white man changing his shirt just about a half block from where the SUV was abandoned.
The possible suspect described as a white male appearing to be in his mid-40s.
This person of interest, they say, who's a white man in his 40s, they think, who is seen not far from the vehicle changing shirts.
The guy in the video seen here is described as a white male in his 40s. He's seen stopping to take off a sweatshirt.
The NYPD is now searching for somebody they describe to be a white male believed to be in his 40s.
Somebody who's
homegrown,
maybe a mentally deranged person or somebody with a political agenda.
Middle-aged white man.
White man said to be in his 40s.
Middle-aged white man.
White male in his 40s.
Is a white male in his mid-40s.
White male believed to be in his 40s. White man in his 40s, they think.
Do you know this man?
And Mayor Bloomberg, what a loser he's turned out to be. He thought it was a Tea Partier who didn't like health care. It just shows you can be a dummy and still be a billionaire.
I had to guess 25 cents. This would be exactly that. Somebody
who's homegrown,
maybe a mentally deranged person or somebody with a political agenda that doesn't like the health care bill or something. It could be anything.
And Democrat Dunn's Bob Beckel, who's on every Fox News show in the world, had the nerve to say that this bomber would be a militia member. Where's the big mouth Bob Beckel right now?
That they have a person of interest as a naturalized American citizen returned to the country after spending several months in Pakistan. Is it too early to read into that?
No, I still think the jury is out on this. I think it could be a right-wing militiaman involved in this. I mean, you never know.
And if you think it can't get worse, it does. CNN actually expressed sympathy for this Muslim devil because his house was in foreclosure. That's right. You talk about sedition. Hey, how about arresting the owners of CNN?
If it can be confirmed that his house was foreclosed on in recent years, I mean, one would have to imagine that brought a lot of pressure and a lot of heartache on that family.
Yeah, she said July of 2009 they left, and then shortly after that she says they changed the locks on the home.
Now these are the stories that made it to michaelsavage.com. The Muslim American admits to a plot aimed at murdering Americans. And he was, by the way, trying to escape on Emirates Airways. You have to ask yourself, Emirates Airways? Comes out of Dubai? He was running to Dubai because there's no extradition treaty with Dubai? Do you remember Michael Savage stopped the Dubai ports deal? Do you remember that? Do you remember that? I warned you that Dubai was not our friends. Oh, you forgot that already. Despite the manhunt, New York City bomb suspect cleared security. He almost got away, said one federal official. You hear this one? Up to 8 probed in Pakistan over New York City bomb attack. Ah. Iran's Hitler questions U.S. nuke disclosure. In other words, Hillary Clinton didn't do enough to tell the world how many nuclear warheads we have. Thank you, Hillary. Venezuelan civilians trained to fight for Chavez. A 54-year-old housewife fired the machine gun for the first time, beaming with satisfaction. A boot camp instructor shouted, "Kill those gringos." Thank you, Sean Penn. Sean Penn is a seditious slime bag. And if we had a real government, vermin like Sean Penn who go over there and cavort with Chavez and call him not a dictator would be treated as they should be treated, as seditious traitors. That's it on the Savage Nation. Read it all on michaelsavage.com. There's unbelievable, unbelievable news today. You can't believe it. It doesn't end. On the bottom, it shows 93-year-old mobster Sonny Franchisi, who was indicted for shaking down Hustler and Penthouse strip joints. He's 93, and he didn't give up his work. All on michaelsavage.com. Don't miss it. Now, the sound bites for today are perhaps as interesting as anything we've ever had on the show. They are amazing. The CNN soundbite, where the reporter says that we can confirm that his house was foreclosed and that it must have brought pressure on him and heartache for his family. Other reporter notes that when they left, they changed the locks on their home, and that must have set him off as a bomber, I swear to God. Then there was the moron Dem strategist Bob Beckel on Fox News saying that a right-wing militia could be behind the Times Square bomb attempt. This was yesterday.
A white sport coat and a pink carnation. I'm all dressed up for the dance.
Then we had a montage of news anchors and reporters yesterday saying the NYPD is looking for a middle-aged white male in connection with the failed Times Square bombing. This was yesterday. I swear to God. It also included a clip of Mayor Bloomberg saying it could have been a right-wing radical. I swear to God, I'm not making this up. Mayor Bloomberg should resign for having attacked white people. Shame on you, Bloomberg. It just shows that billionaires can be crooks like Madoff or dummies like Bloomberg and get away with it. Then, of course, there was a press conference by Obama on the Times Square bomb attempt. And he gave double talk and, you know, hemmed and hawed, said nothing about Islam, nothing about Muslims, nothing about his failed FBI or his failed Homeland Security agencies, nothing.
Who is that guy? And what's he doing? They want to talk to this man. The video shows a middle-aged white man changing his shirt.
A person of interest, a white man said to be in his 40s.
Do you know this man? A surveillance video shows a middle-aged white man changing his shirt just about a half block from where the SUV was abandoned.
The possible suspect described as a white male appearing to be in his mid-40s.
This person of interest, they say, who's a white man in his 40s, they think, who is seen not far from the vehicle changing shirts.
The guy in the video seen here is described as a white male in his 40s. He's seen stopping to take off a sweatshirt.
The NYPD is now searching for somebody they describe to be a white male believed to be in his 40s.
Somebody
who's homegrown,
maybe a mentally deranged person or somebody with a political agenda.
Middle-aged white man.
White man said to be in his 40s.
Middle-aged white man.
White male in his 40s.
As a white male in his mid-40s.
White male believed to be in his 40s. White man in his 40s, they think.
Do you know this man?
Stay tuned on your local affiliate and, of course, with God's will and your listenership. Savage.